Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the Qalb Institute podcast, Companions of the Quran. This Ramadan, Qalb is committed to provide education and programs to all aspects of our local community as well as across the world. To help in this effort and invest in your Sadqa Jariyah, visit supportqalb.com and help us expand our efforts. Jazakallah khair and thank you for your continued support. Assalamu alaikum.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says in a hadith, المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. A man is on the way of his friend, of his companion. So be mindful of who you take as your companion. One of the easiest ways to bring change in your life is to surround yourself by the people who you wish to be like. Lock your eyes on people who hold good characteristics and good qualities and immerse yourself in them. They will become the catalysts to bring that change in you. They will motivate you. They will inspire you. You won't need talks and lectures. Simply their presence will motivate you. The famous narration of the man who killed 99 and then went to a scholar and said, "Will God forgive me?" And he said, "No," so he killed him. Then he went to another scholar and said that, "I killed 100. Will Allah forgive me?" So he said, "Go to a group of righteous people and settle in their community." On the way there, he passed. And this is a big statement. If you just stop there and think about it, the man who killed 100, most of us would write that person off. Not just because of the weight of the sin, but possibly the state of mind of that individual. That person's probably unstable. They can kill anyone at any time. But that scholar said that, send him to a community of righteous people. When he goes there, he'll be surrounded by them, and those shaitani thoughts will slowly drift away. On the way there, he passed away. The malaika came to receive him. One group argued that he didn't make it there. The other one said that he was on the way there. One group wanted to take his soul to be joined with those that were deserving and waiting for the punishment of Allah, and the others for the people of Jannah. They presented their case to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah azawajal said, "Measure which one he's closer to." And even though he was closer to his departing city, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his infinite mercy, made it such that he was actually closer to where he was headed. And this teaches us a lesson of innamal a'malu bin niyat, that actions are based off of intentions. That when you, man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman sahalallahu lahu bihi tariqan ilal jannah, that when you tread a path to seek knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates your road to Jannah. He makes it easy for you. To become from the people of the Qur'an, you need to immerse yourself into a group of people who take the Qur'an seriously. An environment of the Qur'an must be created. Mothers and fathers can shout all day at their children if they'd like to, or husband and wife can scold one another. You can scold your siblings, "Why do you not read the Qur'an? Why do you not read the Qur'an?" That's one way of doing this. Or the second way is, let's create an environment out of the Qur'an. Let's build the Qur'an into our routine, that when someone wakes up in the morning, they wake up to listening to the Qur'an. When they go to sleep at night, they go to sleep listening to the Qur'an. When we advise one another, rather than just going off of whatever thoughts are at the top of our mind, we turn to the Qur'an, find the advice there, and then give advice. Connect in the person through the Qur'an. When someone is struggling, we can either give them our words, or we can find words that are suitable and appropriate from the Qur'an and help them connect with the Qur'an. Make the Qur'an the center. Create an environment out of it, that in your home throughout the day, someone or another, one person or another, is reciting the Qur'an. You know, they say regarding Sayyidina Dawud alayhi salam, that throughout the night, someone from his family was engaged in ibadah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi, in his famous Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, quotes from Zubaydah, the wife of Harun al-Rashid, that she had 100 maidens, 100 female servants that were all hafidat of the Quran. And they only had one task. They were given times throughout the day to come into the royal palace and recite verses of the Quran. Each of them would read three juz each day. And then there were other khadimat for other tasks. There were other servants to take care of this, take care of that. But these people she had in place to create an environment of the Quran. They say that if you entered into her quarters and enter into the part of the palace where she resided with her servants, you could just hear a humming of the Quran in the background. People were just engaged throughout the day reciting the verses of the Quran. In order for this environment to be created, we can't just focus on one person being the expert in the Quran. The entire household needs to take an interest. The father, the mother, the brothers, the sisters, the children, the uncles, the aunts, everyone needs to get in on this. There's a famous individual, a female scholar by the name of Bint al-Faiz al-Qurtubi. She was Cordobian from Islamic Spain, Andalusi. She traveled all the way to study Quran with Imam Abu Umar ad-Dani. Imam Abu Umar ad-Dani, for those of you who don't know, is one of the great scholars of the Quran. And he was a master in the different qira'at, and actually was someone who wrote many books. One of his books I was reading earlier today on the rasam of the Quran. Many people don't know this, but there is a science behind how to write the Quran. When we write in Arabic, we generally go off of the phonetics, so the way something sounds. Hussein would be ha, hu, say, and then you kind of sound the words out, and for the most part, your spelling would work. However, the Quran isn't written like that. There's a science behind it. This rasam, this method of writing, is what is commonly referred to in scholarly circles as a rasam al-Uthmani, the Uthmani script. And it has to be preserved the way it was written by and compiled by Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, because each of those words, the way they were written in a manner that there was a broader tafsir and qira'ah implication that was embedded within the way it was written. So for example, if you just open up the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, if you ask anyone who knows a little bit Arabic, write the word Al-Alameen, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Write that word down. They would write Ayn, Alif, Lam, Mim, Ya, Noon. Open the Quran, that's not how it's written. It's not written like that there. The reason why it's not written like that is because of Ar-Rasam al-Uthmani. Similarly, if you go down Surah Fatiha again, Maliki Yawmiddin, ask anyone, how do you write the word Malik? It's Mim, Alif, Lam, and the Kaf. But open the Mus'haf and Malik is not written like that. It's written in a different way. Now to the untrained eye, these things will never be noticed. But by people of ilm, people that have studied, when they look at these words, they know the secrets right away. That there is a qira'ah implication here. There is a tafsir implication here. The rasam of the Quran basically consists of five different considerations. And this is not the place for it, as much as I would love to go into each of these considerations and explain how they impact the way we write the Quran. One of the earliest writers and one of the most recognized scholars in the ilm rasm al-Quran or ilm rasm al-Masahif is this Abu Amr ad-Dani radiallahu ta'ala, the famous Andalusian scholar from the 5th century. So she came to read Quran to Abu Amr ad-Dani liyaqra alayha fawajadathu maridan. When she arrived there, he was sick. He had some sort of a boil which then continued to spread, and the illness overcame him and he passed away famat. فَذَهَبَتْ إِلَى بَلَنْسِيَةً. She went to Valencia then. And when she got there, she went to one of his students, Abu Dawood, Sahib al-Dani, who was a student of Imam al-Dani. And she read the entire Quran to him, بِالْرِوَايَاتِ السَّبَعِ, with all seven recitations of the Quran. And then she performed Hajj. She returned back to Misr, and shortly after that, she departed the world and passed away. This sort of tradition of seeking Quran and going to scholars and reading it and building that deep relationship with the Quran needs to be in all aspects of the household. That the child grows up seeing that the father is reciting, the mother is reciting, everyone's involved together. So read together. Sit together and read. Hold each other accountable. Follow up with one another. Did you do your part today? And encourage the other, ask me. When the father is the only one asking, the child feels they're being interrogated. But then the father should say to the child, why don't you ask me? You follow up with me, I'll follow up with you. This is not an accountability. I'm not the IRS for you here. Right now, we are working with one another. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ That when it comes to matters of Jannah, خِتَامُهُ مِسْك, when it comes to matters of the hereafter, Muslims should compete with one another. They should have a healthy competition with one another. That if one brother says, I'm reading this much, the other brother says, I'm going to try to do more than you. We compete in the dunya all the time, creating healthy competition within the deen. Healthy competition is a key word there. You don't want it to turn into something that you're trying to harm one another, making dua against one another, hurting another person. You know, you don't want that to happen. Keep it healthy, keep it strong, but overall, build an environment. One thing that I recommend in terms of building an environment at a home, whether it's for reading the Quran or just a good righteous environment, discourage people in your family from reading Salah and Quran in random rooms of the house. Set one central place. One central room, not a tucked away room that couldn't be used for anything and is now turned into a musalla. Not that room. The most central room, the room that you walked into when you were buying the house and said, I'm buying the house because of this room. Go to that room. Put some nice mushafs there. Put a musalla there in the corner. And make that the room, the center of the house where all the ibadat happens. Encourage your children. We're going to pray salah here, not in your room, not in the hallway, not in your closet. Here. When you're reading the Quran, read from here so your voice echoes and it sets a tone and reminds other people who may have not read the Quran today that maybe I should go and open the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be a part of those environments, and may He allow us to contribute to establish and build those environments. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us true companions of the Quran. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.